Last night, Peter and I watched the movie Just Mercy. I was completely overwhelmed. The story takes place in 1993 in Alabama. And I lived in Alabama in late 1993 until 1995. I did not know about any of what was going on. I was just there at flight school, learning about aerodynamics and weather and how to fly with night vision goggles. Monroeville, where the alleged crime happens, that's the catalyst for this movie, was only 100 miles from where I was flying. I looked at the map today and saw one of the major airfields that we used to fly into to refuel, Andalusia, on the route between the two towns. I didn't know what was happening, but I also don't know that back then I would have paid close attention. That movie last night, that comes from a book, which is supposed to be even better than the movie, made me pay attention. The recent murders of George Floyd and Breonna and Ahmed all have made us pay attention. But of course, the Black community has always been paying attention because this has been happening for a very long time. Matthew today tells of Jesus sending the disciples out as sheep among the wolves. This past week, our steering committee met, and among the other discussions was asking how we are meant to go out and be in our community and in this world. How are we to live and serve and share the gospel in a world like this one? Well, over the past several weeks, several people have mentioned that they have continued to lose friends over the divisions in our country and our world that are heightened by this awareness of racial disparity and inequity. People are showing their true colors, people say, not in their voting, that's been going on for 3.5 years, but in their willingness to tolerate the hate and abuse of others. Jesus warns his disciples of these divisions. Brother will betray brother, father his child, children will rise against their parents, and you will be hated by all because of my name. The reality, though, is more nuanced. It's not such a binary thing. The first time, and this is recent, that I read the call to defund the police, I thought, what a ridiculous thing to do. What about the police protection that's legitimately needed? One woman I know who fosters children responded with concern and support, explaining how critical the police have been in rescuing children from extremely dangerous situations, with a few examples that would make any of us blanch. But what the events of the past few months have done for me is to help me reframe how I've seen the world and understand, at least begin to understand, how blind I was to a part of it that is now being revealed. I remember when we lived in Seattle, I stood at attention as a police funeral went by that honored the lives of two officers killed by gang members not far from where we lived. I'd called the police myself a couple of times while we lived in Seattle, concerned for our family's safety or my own, and I've appreciated their support. I've lived before that as part of what I understood to be critical enforcement of what was right in the world. I was one of the enforcers, one of those that wore and wielded weapons, although never, thank God, had to use them. But there are others who don't feel that same protection and in fact experience something exactly the opposite. What I did not see before was that if and when force takes on a life of its own, if it ever becomes more than a very carefully and responsibly managed tool, force by itself can be an evil thing. I can see now how even the potential use of force can be almost a drug, and it has been for our society, so that other critical areas of need have been stripped of support, which then results in the use of more force. I wondered this last week when we stopped using the term officers of the peace. There's no place in the gospel for the use of force. There's only a place in the gospel for love. When Jesus tells his disciples to go out into the world and that they will encounter wolves and that they will be thrown out of towns, he doesn't tell them to go out and build fighting positions. He tells them that when they persecute you in one town, you flee to the next. So what do we do in the midst of all that is happening? I know that Jane and Beth and possibly more of you marched on Friday when we had our steering committee meeting. Many of us were there in spirit. And I have to think that part of what is required is to be in the midst of what is happening and to show God's love and to show the work of the Spirit, not only in God's love, but in our actions too, finding ways to be actively repairing the world. The Jews call this tikkun olam, the act of repairing the world. And this is the work Jesus asks of his disciples. And this is the work that he asks of us. And it is not, he warns us, going to be easy. And not everyone is going to like it. I'm thinking of two other pieces of art right now, one a movie and one an art form. Now, the movie comes from a book, and I did read this book this time, but I was about 13, so I'm going to refer to the movie instead. And that's the movie Little Women. And I only saw half of it before our 48-hour rental expired, so I need to now watch the other half. But in that first half, Jo does not want to dance because her dress has a burn on it, and her sister told her to sit and hide the burn on her skirt. So she's hiding what's wrong. She's hiding what's damaged. Now, of course, Jo, being who she is, gets over this very quickly, but that's the inclination, and that's the requirement from her sister. But that's often our inclination, to hide what is wrong, to put it away, and definitely not to look at it, not to let it be seen. But of course, that never works. The second thing that came to mind as I was thinking about this today is a Japanese art and practice of kintsugi. And in kintsugi, a broken piece of pottery is repaired with gold so that the imperfections, the brokenness, is made more obvious. A piece of pottery that is repaired by kintsugi is more precious than the original. The brokenness has not only been healed, but in the care and the artistry of the repair, it's been made more valuable. What a beautiful opportunity we have. A perfect metaphor for tikkun olam. There's something else about kintsugi, though, and that is embracing the Japanese concept of wabi-sabi, or that there is beauty in the imperfection. And I want to come back to that because nobody is perfect. The disciples were not perfect, and we are not perfect. And I think there is danger today, with all that is going on, in judging harshly people who are each on journeys, especially because, of course, each of us is on a journey as well. I think of myself 20 and 25 and 30 years ago, and I'm grateful that I've moved somewhere on that journey, and I imagine there's a long way yet to go. But instead of judging that journey, wherever somebody is in that journey, Jesus wants us to find a way to come alongside and share the love of Christ, share the gospel and the love of Jesus. In the movie Just Mercy, there's a prison guard whose name we never learn. He's just starting out, and he's pretty rough initially. We're not inclined to like him very much. But over the course of the movie, and he's a very minor character, we watch him change, not hardening into his role as a prison guard on death row in Alabama, but rather softening into the beginning of understanding. The district attorney, and we don't ever hear what happens to him, but I'm guessing it wasn't very good, starts out as a young, good old boy. He doesn't seem to change, but ultimately he accepts the motion to drop charges to the apparent fury of the sheriff. Myers, who is a felon and the one state witness, revokes his original testimony at great risk to his own future and possibly his life. People make mistakes in their hearts and in their actions, but people change too. They're all on journeys. What we get to do, what Jesus sent his disciples out into the world, as harsh as it might be to do, is to live and love in this world, this incredible, frightening world, this incredible and frightening time. But what an opportunity there is to do our best to be worthy of the gospel, of those gifts for which we did not pay, and to show the love of Jesus, to repair the world with the love of Jesus Christ. That is not easy work. But today, I feel hopeful that the world in that repair will become that much more precious. This is not easy work, but Jesus has a promise. The one who endures to the end will be saved.